Okay, let's continue. Let's continue for bringing. Baruch Hashem, we every page is diamonds of chassidus. Let's continue on from what we're up to. Okay. After all the preparations to receive the Torah, through counting the Omer, through Lag BaOmer, when you're actually going to get the Torah, Hashem says you need to have a guarantor. So it says in the Medrash, when the Jewish people stood at Mount Sinai to receive the Torah, God said to them, bring me good guarantors that you will keep it, and I'll give it to you. So they said to Hashem, Master of the Universe, our forefathers will guarantee. So he said to them, your forefathers need guarantors themselves. I have stuff on them. So they said to Hashem, our prophets will be our guarantors. Hashem said, I have stuff on them too. So they said, our children will be our guarantors. So Hashem said, they are certainly good guarantors. Through them, I will give it to you. That means that God was not satisfied with all the guarantors that the Jewish people suggested. He only accepted the guarantor, the guarantee of the children. And through the guarantee of the children, God gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Aaron, the 70 elders, and all the Jewish people. Only because of the children that even Moshe Rabbeinu get the Torah. And this is understood also in our time, that despite all the preparations we may make to receive the Torah, we need to know that the main way to receive the Torah is to get a guarantor. Because when we come to the time of giving the Torah, God's going to ask us, who's going to guarantee? Especially considering the fact that we are in a time of doubled and quadrupled darkness, for sure God will demand a guarantee. And it's a lot harder for Hashem, it's a lot harder to believe that Hashem will be satisfied with a personal guarantee. So we should be able to say, our children will guarantee that we keep the Torah. We'll be able to put forth children, sons, and daughters that they will be guarantors for us, in addition to the fact that they themselves will keep the Torah, but they will also guarantee that we'll keep the Torah. This idea that our children will guarantee that we keep the Torah, this includes also children that can and need us to bring them closer to Torah mitzvahs. When we say that our children will guarantee us, not only referring to those Jews who are already keeping the Torah, we're referring to also Jews who we need to encourage them to bring them closer to Torah. Like the Gemara explains the words, you shall teach the Torah to your children. The Gemara explains who are your children. The word children actually is a reference for your students. As Maimonides rules, it's a mitzvah, and it's a commandment for every single wise man to teach his students, even though they're not his children. And that's how we interpret the word children. Children means students. So it's understood that anyone who was able to bring another Jewish child closer, he has an obligation to teach the Torah to his children. They're called your children. And this is true even in years when things were good. As we find that even in the time of the temple, the Talmud speaks about the incredible accomplishment of Yeshua ben Gamla. The Gemara says, remember that man for good. What did he do that he was so amazing to everyone that the Talmud says, remember him? What he did was, he established that there should be teachers in every country, in every city. So that's how we needed in that time. How much more so in our time, when every single corner there is a cry, that cries like a kruchia. And the cry that we hear in every corner is, go and save Jewish children. This situation today, the great sins, is that there are tens and hundreds and thousands, not just individuals, but tens and hundreds of thousands of Jewish children that they want to force them to chas v'shalom separate from their Judaism. These children come from homes of Jews who are God-fearing, and they want to be God-fearing now as well. But there are those who want to pull them away from the divine presence, and they force them to go against their religion, to go against the Torah mitzvahs, and to even do things which are heretical and denying Hashem completely. And since these children are in a situation that they cannot save themselves, and they need the assistance from the outside, meaning they can't do it themselves, need someone else to come from the outside to help them. So there's a holy obligation and merit upon each person in every situation, in every place he may be, even if he lives very far away, I guess, from where the Rebbe is at the time. I'm not sure. Even if he lives very far away, but he found out. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Even someone who lives far away from where you are, you have a holy obligation and merit in every situation, in any place it may be, even if it's far from you. But you found out through a newspaper, through someone told you what's going on in a couple of miles away, and whatever situation it may be, even if there is a... even if, Chas v'Shalom, this person, God forbid, his children are missing something in their limbs or in their veins, in their health, they have an obligation to do whatever they can to save these children. If we're able to accomplish this in a peaceful way, great. If we're not able to accomplish this in a peaceful way, we have to accomplish this through a protest. And if a protest won't help, we have to do this in a way of hafchada, to frighten, meaning, I'm not sure what the Rebbe is referring to, when he's saying that the people want to take away Jewish children from Torah, I'm not sure. I was thinking that I was talking about the fact that there's just the winds of the street, but it seems like I was referring to something very specific. Or maybe, I don't know, this was 1951. So, if that doesn't help also, since we're talking about people's lives who are in danger, saving lives from a spiritual demise, God forbid, there's a rule that the danger of someone's life pushes everything aside. And someone may ask, what power do we have? We have to know, first of all, that it's not our business. We, as we say in America, we have a mitzvah, we have to do it. The results, that's God's business. And the truth is, when you do a mitzvah, for sure you're going to accomplish something. The question is only if you'll accomplish what you want or a little less than what you want. But probably you'll accomplish everything. The question is only if it will happen in a short while or take longer until we receive the results. And since this is true, every single person, in every situation, in every place, in every situation, has to find the appropriate way they can accomplish this through cries and protests, through letters, through printing, through telephone, through telegraph, do whatever you can. And don't be cheap, basically, the expenses from some that maybe this will affect your own livelihood because it's so expensive to do this. Because, says the Gemara, all of a person's sustenance is set for them. Hashem establishes how much money we're going to make. Tino Shoshan Yom Kippur. So either way you look at it, you don't have to worry about this money you spent towards this effort of a Jewish education. You don't have to worry about this affecting your parnasa. Because whatever God established you're supposed to receive, for sure you won't lose. Whatever wasn't established for you, all of your wisdom will not help to be smarter than God, Chas v'Shalom, to get another dollar than what Hashem has established. You can't get one more dollar either. And it even says in the Gemara that everything is established for you, Shon Yom Kippur, except for the expenses you spend for Shabbos and Yontif, and the expenses you spend to put your children to study Torah. Those expenses aren't counted in what Hashem has allotted for you for the year. If you gave less money for those items, for the expenses of Shabbos and Yontif, and for education, so then there'll be less given. And if you give more, there'll be more given. So automatically, if you think that they're going to lose something from spending money to put children in Jewish school to study Torah, both regarding your actual children, and money you spend to help other children who are, as it says in the Talmud, that all Jewish children are your students. So it says in the Torah, teach the Torah to your children, it means to your students. So whether you're spending money for your own children or other Jewish children, you have to make an effort. I know what I was talking about. Rebbe mentions the children of Taman, the children of Morocco, children of Iraq. Now, that was referring to how the Israeli government, unfortunately, they took these children as soon as they came to Israel, and they took off their payas, and they cut off their tzitzis, and they basically tried to make them assimilate into the Zionist. But the Rebbe is not only referring to that. The Rebbe is referring also to Jewish children in the simple sense. But the Rebbe is saying that you know, you're familiar with the children of Taman, right? Not the rest of it. The children of Yemen. There's a famous scandal in this, that Israel took thousands of children that came from Yemen and from Morocco and from Iraq, and they tried to take them away from their parents. The whole kinds of crazy stories where they told the parents that kids have died. You never heard this. Anyway, so if they try, if they make an effort that the Jewish children of Yemen, of Morocco or Iraq, that they should be able to continue to learn Aleph Beis, to learn Chumash with Rashi, to put on a talis and tefillin, that's part of education. And you have to know these expenses you give for these purposes, they are in God's cheshbon, they're God's account. On the cheshbon hamelech, in Russian there's an expression, kaznia bohata. That means on the king's account. So whatever you're going to spend for that, it's part of the king's account. It's not, you're not losing anything from this. So you could spend lots of money on this. Because Hashem says, I have silver and I have gold, and automatically God will for sure find a way how to finance all these expenses. But unfortunately, there are those who continue their lives, each person, one man under his vine, one person under his fig tree, everyone just continues their lives, and they find all kinds of excuses and explanations and not to do anything. The truth is that all the explanations and all the claims and all the calculations are empty, foolish, and lies. You're bringing the Yetzer Hara, whose whole purpose is to seduce you and to push you away from Hashem, you're bringing him in, not only regarding yourself are you bringing the Yetzer Hara into your life, but you're causing him to affect other people. He is causing you to stand on the side and not to have the guts to put a finger into cold water, to save thousands of Jewish children that they want to separate from Judaism, from Torah, mitzvahs, when the truth is at this time we have to do everything, and there's nothing that's forbidden to do for the sake of stopping someone who wants to tear a child away from Torah and Judaism. So it's fascinating. I never knew the Rebbe even spoke about this issue. But again, I'm sure the Rebbe's not just referring to them, he's referring to us also, his children, which are just not learning Torah, and we have to take this personally. One of the claims, that's why I made the school. Maybe the school, because children can't go to a regular Jewish school, they can't afford it, whatever. One of the claims people have that religious people are agreeing to this. They say, oh, religious people say it's okay. The truth is, if this was done through secular people and from the left of the Israeli, the left, so then it wouldn't last. And therefore, they convinced, they seduced a few religious people, Jews with beards, white beards or black beards, I don't know who they are, and they told them, whoever they told them, and through this they got them to agree, and now they're going and saying that since there's a Jew with a beard, a rabbi who's quiet, or he is mumbling something and signing something, that's a proof that everything is pure and kosher and holy. We find this kind of thing being done in the Torah by Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat was a king he's originally only have two tribes out of the 12. He exiled 10 tribes. Anyways, Yeravam ben Nevat is considered one of the greatest sinners of the Jewish people. So he put up two golden calves, and says in Gemara, he put a rasha next to a tzaddik, and he says, sign all that we've done that it's okay. So the rasha would confuse the tzaddik until everyone signed. Or they got one guy and they got everybody else. And what was the result of this? The result of this was idolatry. And this is a cause the exile. This caused separation between Malchus Yehuda, the kingdom, the monarchy of Yehuda, and the monarchy of the other 10 tribes of Israel. And all other things that were caused as a result of Yeravam ben Nevat, they caused so much sin among all the Jewish people. It all started by him getting people to kibyachol, to agree, to get, he got people in the name of Torah, people who were tzaddikim, to sign on things that the wicked people were doing. We have to know when we're talking about golden calves, doesn't matter who signs on it. Even the one who signs on it is Achia Sheleni Chas Hashem. Achia Sheleni is a teacher of the Baal Shem Tov, teacher of the Yonav. Even Achia Sheleni, when he signs on it, that's called it's still a golden calf. It's still idolatrous. So too in our situation. When a Jewish child wants to put on tefillin, he wants to put on tzitzis, he wants to keep Shabbos, he wants an aleph beis, and someone stops him, doesn't matter who signs on it. Doesn't matter. It's not the signature of this person that establishes what the right thing is. It's the code of Jewish law that establishes it. And according to the code of Jewish law, acting in this way, even the person who signs on it is a Jew with a beard, is going against our religion. Another claim people have, they say, don't get so excited about this because this could hurt, if you publicize what Israel is doing, it could hurt the Israeli bonds. And if the one bond is so, if they sell one bond less, who knows what will happen, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. That's what people are saying. If you publicize what the government of Israel is doing, then they'll sell less Israeli bonds. And it'll hurt the Jewish people who are living in Israel. So Rebbe says that claim has already been negated. In the words of the Gemara says that when Mashiach comes and we'll need to have children, if we need assistance to build the Beis HaMikdash and their children studying Torah, we're not allowed to pull the children away from studying Torah to build the Beis HaMikdash. So even though Mashiach and Eliyahu and all the prophets will testify in the place of the altar, and they'll start building the Beis HaMikdash, and everyone will see that the Shekhinah, Divine Presence, is resting upon what they're doing. You're not allowed to cause one child, who's not even bar mitzvah, he just reached the age of education. He just reached the obligation to teach Torah to your children. He just reached the age when it's obligatory to teach Torah to him. He's learning Aleph Beis. And even if we need him to build a Beis HaMikdash, practically through Mashiach ben David, we still can't stop him. How much more so, regarding the situation that we're in, we have not yet merited to have the Geula, we haven't even merited the beginning of the Geula, and not only do we not have the Geula, but on the contrary, they've taken something of light, and they made from light absolute darkness. Regarding the coming Mashiach, we find when Mashiach will come, there'll be no need to subdue the Yetzirah, to do a Skafia. Rather, Mashiach will come to be a transformation of evil to good. But over here, in this situation, the opposite is happening. I was ever referring to how the Israeli government or the religious Zionist movement is talking about how the fact that there is a they're talking about Israel is like it's the beginning of Mashiach coming. Mashiach has already started to come, and Rebbe says Mashiach is a transformation of good to bad. This is the opposite. This is Rachmanos on the transfer. They're taking things of light and making darkness. So it's not a transformation of darkness to light. It's a transformation of light to darkness. They're using something. The people are saying, "Oh, we need to sell the Israeli bonds. That's a good thing." And what are you using that argument for to say that for that sake, we need to tear away children from Torah and to scorn all that's holy to Jewish people? The Rebbe says there has never been, till this time, such troubles from it says in the Torah, those who destroy you, those who ruin you, will come from you. So there's never been such a situation where, I guess, where religious people are fighting against their own selves. Yeah. From this understood, how far we are from the building of the Beis HaMikdash, not just far from time, not far in time, because Hashem's salvation comes in the blink of an eye, but we're far in concept. The situation that we're in is very distant from building the Beis HaMikdash, not in time. That could happen in a second. Should that will happen in a second, but we're far in concept. And automatically, if, for the sake of building the Beis HaMikdash, we're not allowed to stop one child from learning Aleph Beis, how much more so is it forbidden to stop children from learning Torah for something insignificant, things of lies, and how much more so to use this argument to do non-kosher things. These activities, not only will they not help the land of Israel and the Jewish people living in Israel, on the contrary, though, this will destroy Israel. The Eicha Rabba, the Medrash on Lamentations, which talks about the destruction, begins with a story about a visit of Jewish sages to cities. They came to one city. There was no teacher of children in that city. They said to the people of the city, bring to us the guardians of the city. So they brought the people in charge of guarding the city and guarding the fields of the city. And the sages responded, you call these people the guardians of the city? They're the ones who destroy the city. So they told the sages, then who is the guardian of the city? The sages said, those are the ones who teach the children Torah, the ones who teach the Torah Chumash, the ones who teach the children Mishnah. Those are the ones who are the guardians of the city. That means guarding the government, guarding Israel, guarding the Jewish people who live in Israel, is by having teachers teach children Aleph Beis, Komets Alephah, Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara, with a sense of reverence for Hashem, which is the goal of everything. And on the other hand, when you tear a Jewish child, tear Jewish children, even one Jewish child, from Torah and Judaism, not only does that not protect the city, on the contrary, it destroys the city. So too, there are those who say that you shouldn't publicize what's going on, because this will cause argument. It's the opposite of the Torah. It says about Torah, the Torah is called, her ways of pleasantness. And you have to be very careful that non-Jews shouldn't know that Jews have disagreement. It disgraces Jewish people. As it says in the Torah, why should the nations of the world say that whatever we're doing? So the Rebbe says, if you're worried about being disgraced in the eyes of Gentiles, you have to worry about disgracing God's name. God's name is being disgraced among the Gentiles. For the fact that God's name is being disgraced, these people aren't affected. But if, chas v'shalom, if God forbid, the non-Jews will think that this specific person is not being accepted with love and admiration by all the Jewish people, then that's their afraid. In other words, they're afraid that they will lose respect by there being a publicity about what these politicians are doing. They're afraid about they're losing their political clout and respect. Rebbe said, you shouldn't be afraid of this. You're allowed to say sometimes, you got to say the truth sometimes too. This doesn't matter to Hashem. What matters to Hashem, what affects Hashem is that there's those that announce that Beis Yehuda, the Jewish people, are like all Kol HaGoyim, like all the nations of the world, Rachman Al-Tzah. As Cheskel Navi says, they will come to the nations, and my name will be disgraced. And so Hashem says, "I will have Rachmanis." In other words, Chazal Navi is talking about the end of the Golus. Hashem's name is disgraced. At the end of the Golus. Hashem says, "I will have mercy on my holy name, and I will bring Mashiach, and I will cause an end of this the Chil Hashem." So the bottom line is, everyone has to do whatever they can to fix the situation.
Today would be a good day for that, no?
Do what? Mashiach?
Yeah.
Every single... 100%. It says, everyone has to do whatever they can to fix the situation, and the way to do this is not equal for everybody. Some people can help in one way, one other person can help another way, but there are two clear things about this. Number one, that every single person must do something about this. Number two, that the Alter Rebbe promised to Hasidim, whatever they do, they'll be successful. Yad Chasim al Yehin, Chasim will always be successful. This applies to this as well, that when they will act, when they will do, they for sure will be successful. So that's the bottom line. We'll do whatever we can to help Jewish children have education, and it's an obligation to every single person, and it's clear that if you'll do something, you'll be successful.